Welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. So, last week, I was thinking about and talking about the quick soundbite phrases used to interdict any thoughtful interpretation, phrases used to give self-approval to whatever behavior we might engage in or want to engage in, often behaviors that for thousands of years, or at least hundreds, were considered anathema at worst and impolite at best, based on standards upon which most civilized societies agreed. So whenever someone, particularly of a religious disposition, might object to a direction or idea or action, one of the phrases that comes back is, "God loves me unconditionally." It's launched with the expectation that there can be no discussion of exactly what that means now and has meant from its inception, or how arguably it has been boulderized. The result is that we live in a world of relativistic chaos. I tend to agree with those thinkers who point out that this chaos was essentially orchestrated, the point being that if we can't agree on the basics, society can be brought to its knees and the powerful can take utter control, founded in its particular relativism. A small example of the way words are used to confuse us and to create a conflict among us, even at our most basic activities, where at least until recently we had some common ground, is something that was brought up to me by some friends. It has to do with the phrase, quote, "Happy Holidays." I had a conversation with these friends this past week about the explosive nature of the phrase in our culture wars, and then I happened to be at my dentist's office this past week also, and while I awaited my appointment, the idea of talking about this now pervasive phrase that has essentially replaced Merry or Blessed Christmas just seemed ripe. I rather love my dentist's office. The staff, from the owner of the practice, dentist herself, to the techs, the dental hygienists, the administration, they're all young. The oldest, I'd imagine, is not more than 30 to 35. The skill of these dentists is amazing, and yet there is conversation and laughter and, yes, joy as they work, which I can't say I see in a lot of doctor's offices or dentist's offices. I watched as patients went to the desk to pay their modernly exorbitant dental fees for implants and crowns and cleanings, while young women, mostly women, by the way, are in this practice, probably a really good subject for another podcast, what's that about, wearing festive red headgear and costumes, routinely wish the exiting customer with a loud and cheery "Happy Holidays!" The customer, of course, repeated back the well wishes exactly as they had been proffered. 40 years or more ago, that same office, which I believe harbors some serious Christians based on conversations I have had with some of the staff, would have had, among the other colorful secular decorations reflecting Santa Claus and reindeer, a small nativity scene referencing what used to be our common ground with the genius that all were welcome to celebrate whatever were their beliefs, or lack thereof, without fear of giving or receiving offense or persecution, that America was founded on Christian principles, Judeo-Christian principles, and that those principles, the idea that rights and obligations come from God, not the state or those with the most toys and power, was primary. They did not establish a Christian religion, but they reflected the principles that kept the nation whole and strong and allowed all to live in freedom. I had this slight, and I say slight, impulse, which was to stand up and ask, Is anybody ever going to say Merry Christmas? Oh my gosh, I had this image. She said the C word about God made man who reconciled us to himself by dying at our hands. And so, still, I sat there. Not the time, I thought, to rock the boat. Or more, what's another little concession? Now, on the other hand, I have heard of the religious person who greeted with the phrase Happy Holidays, say on a church property, has expressed strong objection, also reflecting the cultural battle, to the point of being discourteous to the unsuspecting well-wisher. One could say that the objector is properly rocking the boat, or is she? Is that the time to take the stand either? Did the one who said Happy Holidays commit lèse majesté any more than the one who might say Merry Christmas? Conservative though I am, let me try to put a happy spin on the secular banter that is the phrase Happy Holiday, and perhaps reduce the distress of the religious person who feels that religion is being pushed out of the public square, despite the fact that it was people of Protestant Christian background and disposition, despite the effort to rewrite history, who invented and implemented the delicate nation we inherited. The danger of even mentioning this is that some woke influencer will now seek to eradicate even the currently acceptable phrase of Happy Holidays. In fact, of course, what someone is saying when they speak what they think is a secular phrase is Happy Holy Day. What's the holy day? Why, of course, it is Christmas on this occasion. The word itself comes from an Old English word, Kaligdag, around 950 AD, and eventually it morphed into holiday. And I would be being deceptive if I suggested that there hasn't been a divergence in the minds of men from the religious thinking about it. It become more secular. So, as time went on, the term took on a view that a holiday was also a time for rest for those who labored, which of course I could shove into that religious box, the Sunday rest. Come to me, all of ye who labor and rest, take a holiday with Jesus. So we could always bring it back to the religious aspect. Now, am I forcing anything on anyone if I say Merry or Blessed Christmas? The answer in today's society, apparently, is yes. It's offensive because the person to whom you dare to utter the phrase might not be religious or celebrate this religion, the Christian religion. A couple of things. First, as I said earlier, the nation of which we are supposed to be a united part, and in the past, despite our ups and downs, we basically were so in ideal, was founded by Christians in order to have a context, a location for the free exercise of that faith which was constantly being negated by the state. In simplistic terms, these folks founded a nation so that they could happily say Merry Christmas to all in earshot on the occasion of the celebration of Christ's birth. And so that those who were not so inclined could live without repression, believing whatever they wanted, not infringed upon, but also not infringing on anyone else. But that has gone away. Also, when people get offended by Merry Christmas or Blessed Christmas or Holy Christmas, it seems that it attributes to the other a malevolence that is usually opposite from the reality. If I, as a Catholic, wish you Merry Christmas, I am offering you the highest care for you because I'm sending you the blessing and hope which is most significant to me, the centrality for me, the love of Christ. I'm sending you love, even if I'm not thinking about it as I speak, that's what I'm particularly doing. I am bestowing you with the best that I have, my faith in God, and my wish that you thrive. But beside that, there is no requirement that to respect your faith or lack thereof, I must disrespect my own or keep silent. Such a restriction is also antithetical to our nation's core ideas that each of us may express ourselves without fear of repression, and that includes the repression of being shamed for saying that which is beautiful and not offensive. Offense taken is not offense given. And in a society of learning and history and compassion, people would know that. They used to know that. We are, in fact, a Christian nation in which all faiths and lack thereof used to thrive, even those far removed from anything a Christian can understand. I should not feel afraid, and I do, to say Merry Christmas. I should not have to go into my local store and find not one religious card. How does a selection of religious cards establish a religion? And, of course, that's another misnomer and misunderstanding, that religion in the public square is somehow, of itself, establishment of religion. Establishment is where the state religion is the approved religion. One letter from Thomas Jefferson in which he said to the Danbury Baptist Association that the Establishment Clause built a wall of separation between church and state, yeah, a wall that said there is no one religion imposed by the state. That never meant, and again, we live in a world without either context or nuance or understanding or reference to anything historical in toto, that religion isn't allowed to participate fully in the state activity, that principles of religion which overlap those of natural law and philosophy are not to inform our moral and legal actions within this society. The moment you do that, there is only the relativistic, and the ever-changing relativistic for that matter, and then the imposition of a different form of religion, the secular, which has just as much dogma and ritual as any that ever came from God, and likely will be more inconsistent and contradictory than anything that ever came from God. The other thing about reliance on one letter or series of letters by Thomas Jefferson is, as a lawyer, I would say, why are we relying solely on a secondary source in determining the course of the nation instead of the totality of our documents, the history of our founding, which go well beyond a letter or two or three from one of the founding fathers? The other problem is that the thing that is to be prevented by the Establishment Clause is acts of the state, of the federal government. It has nothing to do with what I speak or don't speak, as long as, you know, the old phrase, I don't yell fire in a theater and cause a stampede, which is an action. My speech then causes an action which harms other. Offense is not that kind of thing. And offense is as variable as the people that you're speaking to, which makes your life crazy. You can't speak at all. Essentially, when people try to tell you, you can't say Merry Christmas, either legally or implicitly, they're eradicating a foundational essence of this society. Because then, what is the common ground basis for what we can or cannot speak about anything? We're seeing it all over. All sorts of innocent phrases that in the secular religion is considered improper. And improper is a constantly moving goalpost and varies again according to every individual with whom you make any greeting or have any conversation. The moment you and I became afraid to say Merry Christmas, or for that matter, became afraid to say Happy Holidays and not know which one to say, and we are, that's the moment we began to lose this country. So as to that person who might be offended by the use of the phrase Happy Holidays, especially, say, in the confines of the vestibule of the church with the crucifix hanging prominently in the background, well, part of me obviously understands that. The religious American, the faithful American who happens to be religious, is being beaten down in every area of his or her life insofar as being shamed or laughed at. And this, of course, has always been in history. And we religious folk need to be cognizant that the Lord said this would always be the case. for doing what used to be completely proper and commonplace, saying Merry Christmas. And so, when in the one safe place in which such a phrase should be used, Merry Christmas, and would expect it to be used, even there is a caution applied. At my church, such a person would say, I want to be wished Merry Christmas, the one safe place in a hostile world, my church. And then someone expresses the secular version. Well, to me, this is a version of more significant realities, how the secular world has seeped so deeply into Catholicism and other faiths. After all, how many American Catholics, despite church teaching on abortion, embrace it, or living together, embrace it, or heterosexual sex outside of marriage, embrace it, or sex between men and men and women, embrace it. All Catholics, regardless of their inclinations, are supposed to live chaste lives. But how many do? So in these big things, the practicing Catholic is not safe from disputation and being told that they are fools. Why? Then not also in the mere greeting for a holiday. My initial reaction is to cut the person who gets upset about another Catholic on Catholic church grounds saying happy holiday to her some slack. But only some, because here would be an opportunity for the person receiving the happy holiday greeting to exercise some Christian charity and talk about what is happening rather than to become offended. You could softly, even humorously say, happy holiday. Oh my heavens, I thought surely here we would all know what it is we celebrate. Then the other can explain. For example, he or she could remind that the word holiday is in fact intended religiously in our context, for we are celebrating a holy season that has yet to culminate in Christmas. Or we could acknowledge the stress that living in the world puts upon all of us, that we are in fact being conditioned daily not to offend, though it's like walking around a minefield. You never know when you will hit the bomb of offense given and or taken. Now, two Catholics surely can do that without falling into that trap. Having been able to mediate between themselves, these Catholic Christians could go out into the world, perhaps, and say Merry or Blessed Christmas, and if brought up short for that greeting, be able to engage the other in a loving disputation of where he or she is coming from. I'm wishing you the blessing that is most important to my life, the one that comes, I believe, from God. Again, I can say, you know, I celebrate Christmas. I therefore wish people my good offices from that critical, that deepest part of my life. I'm sharing that part of my life with them. And it remains, at least nominally, still the largest part of the lives of most Americans. 64% of Americans still say they are Christian. Now, that's down a lot from 90%. And for me, even if many are not, as is their American right, the nation still and always will have a Christian foundation. And frankly, without it, without any religious foundation in which the rights of people come from God and not from other people who are offended, particularly if they have a bat to hit you with, we are, in my mind, doomed as a nation. It's already the direction we are going. One of the things I've noticed about myself is that as a result of the antipathy to religion and the utter rejection of Christ as part of the celebration of the season, I found myself uninterested in the secular parts that I used to love, because the religious and the secular used to be a holistic whole. There was Santa Claus, by the way, from a Christian saint, and Christ, and we celebrated without fear of what we might say to one another in good wishes. It was because the secular and the Christian merged so nicely together that I loved the trappings, even the secular trappings of the season, the parties, the gifts, the lights, the tree. To me, although they came from a secular perspective, and arguably from a pagan perspective, going back ages before Christianity, they had been given the patina of my centrality, the fact that I was celebrating the birth of Christ. But now, to me, it's all unmoored, unconnected to anything solid. It's all just a pastiche to me. Now, as uninterested as I am in all of this, I would never try to eradicate it, as are those who seek to eradicate the faith-based celebrations in the public square. But if the idea was to honor all people, which I have never believed is actually the case, our secular system certainly hasn't achieved that. I don't send Christmas cards anymore. Part of that is that I have terrible handwriting, but to me, also, the wish I wanted to make came from my religious being, and I don't want to worry about whether my religious card is going to offend someone during the season that purportedly celebrates the birth of Christ. That's just me. But I also want people to know how much they mean to me. So this year I compromised. I sent out a, quote, season's greeting email with a message that wished the blessings of Christmas, combining the secular with the religious. But there's one thing we all need to do. We must not let the forces of division succeed. That's, quite frankly, the devil, the chaos. That's what he does. Whether the person wishes you a happy holiday or a Merry Christmas, let's assume the best about that person. Don't engage in the effort to take away what was one of the greatest aspects of the ideals of this nation, that wherever we came from, whatever we believe, we're all part of one objective truth. Whatever rights we have, they do not come from the other. They come from God, and we are to respect them in the other. For my part, though I plan on saying Merry Christmas because I believe that in Christ we have our source and summit, I wish that for others. I wish that greatest good, and I know of no other. My evangelization ought not to be forced. It ought to come from my belief that, and hope that, we will all be restored to original happiness and holiness. My job, as a Catholic Christian, is to love God and to love my neighbor. That isn't always easy, but then it wasn't easy for Christ himself, as well, we all know. Well, so ends another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. If you're enjoying this program, tell your friends and family about it. Also, tell them where they can find it, which is pretty much, if you Google Ordinary Old Catholic Me, you will see it on TuneIn, in Amazon, Spotify, Pandora, and of course Podbean, which is the platform upon which I publish. So, listen to it and pass it on, if you're liking it. Talk to you later. Bye.